And part two, we're going to bring the side lights up, side fills. There we go. Ooh. We just shared in communion, a sacrament that we share in every week, a sacrament that Jesus started in the upper room during the Last Supper. I've shared a few times in this series that John doesn't record the institution of the communion, of the Lord's Supper. Instead, he shares about the foot washing. What's interesting about John's gospel, though, is that from that point, we know that communion happened, well, the foot washing happened, and then dinner, and then communion. And then what John gives us, starting in chapter 14 and just going all the way to 17, is a long discussion that Jesus has with the disciples at the end of the meal, all the way to the walk to the garden. And there are just some really wonderful things in there. We're going to come back to this in a couple weeks, because in John 15 is our final I am statement. In John chapter 14, Jesus knows that he's dealing with troubled disciples, or disciples that are about to be really troubled. He knew that their world was going to turn upside down. They were going to encounter, to call it a crazy time just doesn't seem to give it justice. Jesus had predicted his death and his resurrection many times, but the whole concept was impossible to understand until it had taken place. Jesus knew what was going to happen that night. He knew of Judas's betrayal. In fact, he had made a mention of that during the meal, and Judas made his exit. Jesus knew about the arrests happening soon in the garden. He knew about the trials and the false accusations that would go on through the night. He knew that his disciples would scatter. He knew that Peter would deny him three times. Jesus knew that he was going to give his life. And he knew that all of this was going to be very troubling for the disciples. And so he shares there at the meal something that the other gospels didn't, but John shares this conversation, and this whole conversation starts off with Jesus saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." We should have the scripture. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. What's his alternative? Believe. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Focus. That works with people that, even people that don't have ADHD. You know, sometimes my wife has to grab my face. Sometimes we have to grab our son's face. And this is one of those moments where Jesus just kind of grabs our face. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Just believe. That's Jesus' solution. Just believe. Believe, believe, believe. John's whole gospel, that is a major theme that runs through his whole gospel. John 6, 47, if you believe, you will have life in the light of the world. In John 8, if you don't believe, actually that was the bread of life, John 6, and John 8 was the light of the world. If you don't believe, you will indeed die in your sins, John 8, 24. John's whole book was written so that those who read it would believe. That's accounted in John chapter 20, verse 31. Most of us are very familiar with that famous John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever, what? Believes in him will have eternal life. It is a major theme in John's gospel because it was a major theme of Jesus' teachings. Here, Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Instead, believe. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. We're living in troubled times, no doubt. things seem to be upside down for us for different reasons than what was happening for the disciples. But, you know, the past 2 years, it just felt like we're living in a movie. And movies, sci-fi movies have been made about things that we're living through now. And it's really eerie to go back and see some of these movies about pandemics and political figures that are hungry with power and just all this stuff that's going on that we're living through. Mixed media choosing what to cover and what they're going to sweep under the rug. Men calling themselves women and breaking athletic, women's athletic records all across our nation. It's wrong. Record inflation, growing superpowers around the world, looking at us as we're involved in a cold civil war. We need to hear these words, don't we? Amen. Amen. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe. Believe in God and believe in His Son. Is it really that simple? It is. I think sometimes we underestimate the power of belief, and we are wrong to do that. I think sometimes we underestimate the power of disbelief also. The power of your choice to do one or the other is nothing less than amazing. And depending on your choice to believe or to not believe, it is either fulfilling or catastrophic. Jesus continues, he says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come. I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the place to where, you know the place where I am going." And Thomas speaks up, but I think if any of us were there, we'd have been thinking the same thing. "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus gives them hope. Jesus knows what is coming. He knows what is going to happen that night. He knows that he's the resurrection and the life. He knows that he's going to give his life and that the church would be started and that the church would be persecuted. And even so, we are to set our hopes above and to just simply believe and look to the future. Jesus says, my Father's house has a ton of rooms. If that were all made believe, why would I tell you that I'm going to go there and prepare a place for you and come back so I can take you with me? We have an eternal future. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Jesus. And believe in the promise that we have a hope. That we have an eternal future. While all this craziness is going on down here, Jesus is preparing a place for us up there. Amen? And he will come back and take us to be with him. I believe any of us sitting at that table that night during this conversation, we'd had the same thoughts as Thomas. "We don't know where you're going. What are you talking about? Are these parables? Are these riddles again? What's going on? Why should our hearts be troubled? We just got a full belly." You shared something about your body being broken and bloodshed, and that didn't quite make sense. But what's going on, Jesus? How can we know the way? This leads to our next I am statement. An I am statement that encompasses all others. An umbrella I am statement. An I am statement that is echoed through the church since the day that it was spoken. Through our lives, through our hearts. Jesus' reply is the famous John 14:6. "I am the way." How do we know where you're going? How do we know the way? I am. I am the way and the truth, light of the world, and the life, bread of life, resurrection and life. Just encompasses all of them. No one comes to the Father only through the gates. Only through the model shepherd, the ideal shepherd. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is not saying that he knows the way, or that he knows truth, or that he knows life. No, this is an I am statement. It's bigger than just him knowing it. He am. To mess up our English. He am. He am the way. It's not something that's past. Just because he said it 2,000 years ago, it's not like I was a skateboarder. No, today he is the way, he is the life, he is the truth. That hasn't changed. That's what's so great about these I am statements. They're I am. Past, present, future. Told you we didn't have many notes, but just want to break this statement down this morning as we continue to focus on some simple things. Jesus, in this statement, it's black and white. It doesn't allow for argument or discussion. Either you accept what he says, and if we are Bible-believing people, then we have to accept he is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through him. You either have to believe that, or you have to dismiss him as a lunatic or a liar, or we believe in him and he's Lord. Jesus gives this black and white statement, this black and white I am statement. And he does so to keep their hearts strong in a night where their hearts will be tested. In the days that are coming, in the decades that are coming, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe. And believe in the promise, believe in the hope. And Jesus has the authority to give that promise because he's the way. This I am statement that we carry, you know, in our little reminder cards. Put them in your pocket. Put them in your billfold. Put it up on your mirror. More than that, you know, we put it in our heart. And this one's easy. To lead us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to empower us, to encourage us, to sustain us, to enlighten us, to remind us, to fill us with the basic truths of who Jesus is, who he am. I am the way. Let's write that down. Just real simple. We're just writing down scripture. So we, yes, thank you. I am the way. You know, we hear this a lot, and man, it's age old. Happy holidays, you know. I'm tempted just to start saying Happy Hanukkah until a certain point. When is that? December, what? It's earlier. And then after that point, then to start saying Merry Christmas, you know. If we want to just be polite there, let's be specific. You know, and we've heard the statements, we need to keep Christ in Christmas. And now we're at the point where we're just trying to keep Christmas in Christmas. This whole holiday came because of our remembrance of the birth of Jesus. And now it's not politically correct. Because we don't want to offend people. We want to allow them to believe what they want to believe. There are many philosophies that mankind has created to believe that there are different ways to God, and we've heard plenty of them. If you're a good enough person, you can get to God. It's only 11:05. Okay. Some people drop the mic, I drop the stand. So if you're a good enough person, you can get to God. Wrong. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I've lived a good life. I haven't done anything too bad. Wrong. The wage of sin is death. That's sin. Romans 6:23. It doesn't matter what religion you choose as long as you believe in God. Throughout the Bible, I mean, just to grab one, Ephesians chapter 4. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. All religions lead you to God. Wrong. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There is no room for error in this statement. Jesus says, I am the way. Not a way. I am the way. I'm not just the best way among ways. The way, singular, one. And just in case we didn't pick up on that, he follows this statement up by saying, no one comes to the Father except through me. If this statement were that easy to understand, then would you think that more people would believe? But the problem with believing is that once you believe a statement like that, it means that you're responsible for all that comes with it. We're responsible for sharing it because we know the way. And it's not a map, it's a person. And yet we're afraid to share. Because we're afraid of offending someone. And I've talked many times about building relationships with people so that you can speak into their life, so that you can share with them. And church, that needs to be our agenda. To love people for the sole purpose of being able to share with them the truth of the gospel of Jesus. Because our timidness, our fear of offending people is helping their path to eternity without God, and that's hell. I don't want to get to the end of my life and go before God and have all of these opportunities where I could have shared, but I didn't want to offend someone when I knew the way. Jesus is the way. He is the gate. Salvation is found in no other name but Jesus. I am the truth. Very simple. We talked about this in the I am the light of the world. We live in a world where people are fed lies left and right. And this time specifically, I've shared with you guys, this was a sermon series that I shared. It was my first Christmas sermon series that I shared, 2005. And man, they needed to be reworked. This was probably the better of the sermons. Some of the other ones, I was like, oh my goodness, I've come a long way in 16 years. But 16 years ago, we had a lot of lies going around, but holy cow, if I would have been able, if I could go back in time, and 2021 Dusty could go back to 2005 Dusty and say, you are not going to believe the lies that are going to be shared all around. I have no idea who to trust in our world. You hear this and you hear this, and they're both PhD scientists, doctors. And I have no idea where to stand on the subjects that we're dealing with right now. Vax, not vax, all this. And we got, you know, I'm not trying to bring up things in here, but it's so frustrating. You see topics covered. Kyle Rittenhouse. White supremacy. Year later. Nothing of the sort. And time and time and time, we just have lies and lies and lies. And we've been tempered to be very distrusting. More now than I think in any time that I've lived through in my life. And I'm a pretty skeptical person. I don't trust easily. But now, in a time where it's just lie, 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 and we write something down on a Sunday morning, I am the truth. That's a word that's so foreign to our ears. But as Christians, it shouldn't be. We should know that there's a difference between media coverage of different things or political agendas or all the other different things we're dealing with. And these words in John chapter 14 where Jesus says, I am the truth. We should be able to sort that out and cling to that, especially times like now. Funny thing about truth is truth whether you agree with it or not. Right? It doesn't matter if you disagree with truth. Truth is truth. Okay, if I were going to jump off a cliff, the truth is I would fall to my death. And if it was a good enough sized cliff. You know, and I didn't have like a rope or a parachute. There's a lot of things there. But just jumping off a very tall cliff, I would die. Why? Because gravity is a truth. And it does not matter one bit if I don't believe in it. It's still truth. Jesus is the truth. Accept it or not, truth is absolute. It's really cool too. Truth is obtainable because truth is a person. Truth is someone we can have a relationship with, someone who has invited us into a relationship with him. And the more we get to know him, you know, right here in this section, he says, you know the Father because you know me. I am the life. Let's write this down. You know, many of you might have come this morning expecting a Christmas sermon. If you missed our Christmas Eve service, I thankfully didn't draw the short straw. Poor Mike did. He had to pronounce Quirinius. You did a great job. I can't pronounce that guy's name. Quirinius. Is that close? Something. Still, I just call him Q, like from James Bond, you know. So, you know, if you expected to hear that, that was Christmas Eve. Mike was here and he got a chance to read the Linus passage from Luke chapter 2. This Christmas sermon, it's a little different, but I wanted us to connect the manger to the cross and to just strip away everything that is Christmas and just focus on the birth of Christ that he was given so that we could have life. That he am the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the model shepherd. He is the I am. He's the gate. God gave his son, Jesus. Short version. There was Mary and Joseph and shepherds and angels, and each of them have their own story. But the real story of Christmas comes 33 years later when he gives his life and the cross becomes the first Christmas tree, giving the world the best Christmas gift that could have ever been given, and that's life. Hope to mankind. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for your son, Jesus. for his life, for his teachings, for these I am statements that clearly show us who your son is today. Father, I pray for us that as these words of Jesus speak to us today, that you would help us to hear his words as they speak to our life, our heart. That he comes to us in times like he came to Mary and Martha. In times that seem dismal, and he brings life. Because he is the resurrection and life. That he comes in times when our hearts are troubled. And he reminds us, don't let your hearts be troubled, but believe. Because believing is the way you have life, eternal life. Father, thank you that your son was the way and the truth and the life. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it's pretty interesting when you're having a conversation with someone, and maybe this is something that would benefit you as you have conversations with people. There might be someone here just benefit from hearing what I'm about to share. You know, if I'm wrong, you know, because in conversations you have to enter into them with some give and take, I believe. Now, I have no doubts, but I can't assume that someone else is going to believe just because I believe, you know. But in some of those situations, I've shared numerous times. I mean, if I'm wrong, and I believe in Jesus, and I believe that he's the only way, and if there are other ways, and he's just one way, I'm still going to go to God. I'm still going to have eternal life. I've lived my life based on a moral code and principles and God's word. If God's word's not God's word, I still lived a good life because all the stuff that's in there is really good stuff. I mean, that is if I'm wrong. I haven't really missed out on much if I'm wrong. But what if you're wrong? What if Jesus is the only way? What if God's word is indeed God's word and every word in it is truth? What are you missing out on? What are you missing out on if you're wrong and I'm right? Because if I'm wrong and you're right, I'm not missing out on anything. But if it's flipped, you're going to miss out on a lot.